Welcome back to the Hy-Vee WHO Radio Studios for another great broadcast hour on News Radio 1040 WHO.
Iowa's Dream Builder, Proline Building Company.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to our Tuesday Check That Wednesday morning get-together, hour two, as we're going to be talking about the preservation of innocence. The director of Preserve Innocence is here. His name is Emmett McGroarty. He's the national director, and the Iowa State director, Eric Goranson, here in the studio with us. Gentlemen, thank you for coming over here this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jim.
So what is this? Tell me what the name of the organization means.
The name of the organization, what it means is people need to stand up and fight to preserve the innocence of our children. You know, we have the decay of standards going on all around, and increasingly this is encouraged by government activity, by teaching activism in schools,
right,
rather than academics, by undermining what parents are teaching at home. And it's time for people to wake up and guard their rights as parents, guard their rights as citizens, to teach the next generation. It's time for them to guard those rights as much as they and as vigilantly as they guard their other individual rights.
Well, give me an example of what why are you doing this and what got you fired up? Because this is what got you out of your comfort zone to become an activist.
It's the pervasiveness of what's going on in society. And put yourselves in the shoes of a child. They have this stuff coming at them from everywhere. They're inflicted
right.
Everywhere. They can't watch TV without
right.
without hearing about.
Well, here
this.
Here in Des Moines, you can't even go to grade school. Here in Des Moines, you go to arts class, and some arts instructor will serve up a pornographic homoerotica to your kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we, you know, this is a...
But we suspended that person for a while with pay until there's an investigation. What do you think about that?
Well, we've had this creeping progressivism in education for over 100 years now that basically says, well, children need to tell us what they want to learn, and children need to discover their surroundings. They need to discover their interests. Kind of relativizes everything, makes everything relative. And at the core, it undermines what parents are teaching at home, whatever parents are teaching.
Well, I was talking yesterday, just right out of the blue, a very articulate lady called in, upset at some of the images being shown at a local business. It's a place where you go buy soap and bath supplies. You walk into this place, and there was full nudity pictures all over the place with no explanation offered. And we had a number of people very upset about that. Why should we have to be confronted when we have kids with us in a business, a place of business, with erotica? And here in the Des Moines area, you've got another example of this movie. It was a YouTube movie, and here's the rest of the story. The police department school officials are investigating an incident at Wright Elementary School in which an art teacher showed what one parent described as an inappropriate video to the students. And I watched this video this morning. It was grossly inappropriate. So theoretically, it is an arts movie. It's animation on the internet by a now dead artist who passed away several years ago. I'll talk about that later. But the arts teacher was put on paid leave following the incident, and the school board says, "Well, this is a personnel matter. She's not a matter, and we're not going to discuss it." The teacher is an art teacher at Wright. And in the focus program, according to the district's website. All right. And by the way, if folks, if you're, we're going to talk about this later, but I put the a link to that video up on my website this morning in yesterday's podcast. You just look for the link and you'll see it. You can view it and judge it for yourself if you think that's it's appropriate. Go to whoradio.com and go to the Michelson page, and you'll see the link for yesterday's podcast, and you can comment. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Jan, we applaud that lady for becoming outraged and doing something about it, and you know that really says something about us as a people. I think we've cowered as a people. We've gotten used to retreating. We've gotten used to cowering and hiding. We think that we've come to the mindset that things are too big for us to take on. This nation of frontier men, this nation that of revolutionaries that took on the most powerful economic and military force of its time and defeated it to start our nation.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm sensing from a lot of the listeners that call me, there's this sense of, well, there's nothing we can really do about it. This is overwhelming. We've lost our culture. The forces out there that we're outnumbered, there are more of them than us. And I don't think any of those things are true.
They're not. And I think we've had that creeping sense. We've been retreating as a people. We've been losing our integrity as men and women. We've been losing that frontier spirit, that revolutionary spirit. We've been thinking things have been too big for us to handle. You got the Soviet Union. We thought, well, that's probably too big for us to handle. Big corporations, they're too big. You know, it's not a mom and pop store oftentimes anymore. It's Hollywood. It's a huge media corporation. It's a huge textbook company. It's a huge national association. It's the huge federal government. What can one person do about that? One person can't do anything about that. And that's the attitude that's been creeping on with a few lone shepherds out there, Jim, such as you.
What are you guys prepared to do about it? What's the purpose of your organization? What are you going to recommend to us?
What we want to do is capture the spirit of that lady who called you the other day. And it's time for people to stand up and to take back.
What are we supposed to do?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, I'm really,
we're starting
in
here.
In this one case, we wouldn't even have found out that this arts teacher had, in essence, intellectually molested her kids in her class by showing autoerotic, homoerotic porn to her kids in arts class in grade school, had the kid not gone home and said, "Dad, the teacher showed some really gross stuff to us yesterday in class," and then the parent did due diligence and called and reported this. This would not have been a police matter. This would not have been an education matter whatsoever. Had not one kid understood what malarkey was being served up, and then one parent said, "This needs to be an accountable moment for the education establishment. You're not going to show this filth to our kids in a public school classroom and call it art."
Yeah, wake up, America, wake up. You know, those children are going to probably remember that for the rest of their lives.
I'm not sure about that. If you've seen you can watch this. I'll show you it's for an adult. It is a collage of animation, but it is designed to affect the attitudes of the viewer. It is subtle. It's not all that overt, but it is very artsy. And it is actually pretty well produced at one level, but it is also insidious for the very same reason. It's designed to manipulate the viewer, which all art is designed to do, by the way. Music, movies, conversation. It's designed to have an appropriate or maybe even an inappropriate response on the part of the viewer or the recipient. But to target middle school kids, grade school kids with this stuff, ridiculous.
Right. That's why we control, we should try to control what our children see and hear.
And really, I wasn't aware of this story until right before we went on the air, but it's symptomatic of a problem that Preserve Innocence Iowa and Preserve Innocence Nationwide wants to address, and that's the reversal of what we consider a government takeover or at best the centralization of education policy and return local control to Iowans in education, because frankly, these things are easier to address.
Right.
People feel more empowered, and they're less likely to happen if schools and public policy itself and policymakers are accountable at the local level.
Well, what do you mean by accountable?
It's a lot easier for an individual Iowan to go to local school board, to local superintendent, to be empowered to be engaged in their children's education if the vast majority of the decisions and the policies coming from that local level than it is once you start abdicating that authority to the Department of Education. And right now we have a Department of Education in Iowa that's increasingly resigned to abdicate some of their responsibility to the federal government and, of course, national standards.
Well, they get paid for that.
And
they get bribed to do that.
You're right. And every time we allow that to happen as a state or as a people, as a local government, we've just made it that much harder to affect change. Because now, instead of a single mom going to a school board meeting, now I got to organize a statewide organization to make a difference. Once our State Department of Education abdicates authority to the federal government, now I've got to create a national
right.
organization. It gets harder and harder for parents to keep the education system accountable the more those decisions
right.
leave the local level. And that's something, when you look at the big picture and you say, what can we do? The big picture is, let's do everything humanly possible to champion public policy that restores local control.
Well, one way to do that is you have to sever the economic dependency. And right now, the Obama administration is considering an education bailout. It would be illegal. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows him to do this, but doesn't mean that he's not going to do it.
Right.
Because the leadership class is not bound by their constitutional oath, and they look at that document as not binding on them. They think it, they remake it every single day, and they'll laugh at you if you ask to demonstrate where in the Constitution their authority comes from. And Nancy Pelosi literally laughed at a reporter asking where in the Constitution you find the authority to do health care. She just laughed. You kidding me? They make you feel like you're an idiot if you just ask them to demonstrate their bona fides. And most media types and most Americans who've grown up in this process are intimidated by that process. Well, I'm not. Well, obviously, these people are smarter than I am. They wouldn't be in a position of authority unless they're really, really, really smart. So if they must understand something that I don't, otherwise they wouldn't be able to do that. Well, once you realize they're just making it up as they go, and they're con artists, you're not so intimidated by the political class anymore when they just serve up the malarkey. Do you think we got enough spine to address the leadership class at the level that is going to be necessary to take us where you want us to go?
I think America's waking up, and we see that with the Tea Party movement. God bless them. And you see that with the popularity of people like Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. People are waking up and people are realizing, wait a second, this stuff is happening. I don't have to take it. It's a lot easier to organize now than it used to be. And we're going to make our voices heard. We're going to demand change.
What would you want to see? Now, it's one thing to say, we don't want what we got. What do you want? What do you would like to put in its place?
What I'd like to put in its place on the national level is a complete severing of policy being inflicted by the federal government onto the states. You know, if the federal government wants to give money to the states, then so be it. I'm sure the states will welcome money, but it should be...
Wait a second. I have to object if you're going to start with that attitude. I rise to a point of order. It's not so be it. It's illegal. That's not rhetoric. There is no constitutional authority for the federal government to give money, as you call it, to an educational establishment. There's none. So they've been doing it, getting away with it, because we like getting access to other people's money, even if it's stolen in our behalf. The problem is, in addition to the leadership class, we have become dependent upon the money that we get out of the trunk of politicians as they give us stolen property out of the trunks of their political campaigns. We're dependent. And if you tell somebody, well, we're not going to steal money for you anymore, we're not likely to elect them.
Yeah, it's the people's money. No, you're You're right about that, Jan. But on this issue,
how about this one? Separation of school and state. How about there is no legitimate authority? So why are we even asking them questions? Well, why do we even accept their jurisdiction if they don't have any legally anyway?
Yeah. No, you're totally right. I mean, you really are preaching to the choir. That the
I'm sorry.
The issue is the.
Am I any good at it?
You're very good. I listen to it every day. The real issue for us is you're absolutely right. And in a perfect world, and the end game is to ensure that every American, and then specifically my role here in Iowa, is to make sure every Iowan has complete control over their child's education, whether they homeschool, private school, public school, charter school, virtual school. I want them to have a variety of educational vehicles at their disposal, and I want them to have local control over that.
I got a call 2 days ago from a fellow who said, hey, you also know that if you're a public school user, and I have a kid in public school, and I decided I didn't like this particular public school, I wanted to open enroll my son to a different school entirely. I was told I couldn't do so because my kid was white.
It happens a lot for various reasons. And my work with the Iowa Association of Christian Schools obviously gives me a certain perspective on it. But I know Preserve Innocence shares my opinion that it's immoral to look at a mother or a father of a four-year-old and say, I know your public school isn't up to par in your neighborhood, but that's your assigned government school, so unless you're rich, you can't escape.
Well, even if you are rich, you can't even use your own money without being billed twice.
Correct. Yeah, either way, you're going to pay for it.
It's just,
but you can at least get your kid out, if you're wealthy, of that particular school.
Is there anything more iniquitous than billing somebody twice for the same product and being required to pay for somebody else's while you have no control over the quality of either?
Correct. And, you know, in the past, you've at least been able to argue that if you're childless or if your children are grown and you're still paying property taxes, when we had local, when Iowa was when the top five, you know, depending on who you asked, you were number two, number three, or four. When we were in that top five in the 80s and 90s in education, we had little more than local control. And that has degraded over the last 10, 15 years. And at least back then, you could say, well, you know, you at least have a say in the local policy of your schools. And were we exercising that opportunity? Not like we should have. But we had that ability, and we should again.
Well, it's really difficult to turn the ship around once you've, in essence, told somebody else they can be the captain.
Correct.
and they have a vested interest in all of the power that goes along with the uniform.
But we have to try.
I agree. We're going to continue this conversation about preserving innocence. We're talking with Emmett McGroarty. He's the national director of this. And Eric Gorenson, he's the Iowa director. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, I urge you to. You can agree, you can disagree. 284-1040 or 800-469-4295. Back in.
Don't turn your head back over your shoulder.
Right back to conversation. My in-studio guests are here to talk to us about the organization newly formed here in Iowa called Preserve Innocence. Eric Gorenson, what do you want us to know about this? How can Iowans get involved? Because I don't think anybody in the sound of our voice doesn't agree with you. So therefore, and we're all equally irritated, but we all feel a little powerless. What are you prepared to do?
No, I appreciate that question.
Are you going to be the heavy hitter? From now on, if we have a problem like this, we call you and you go kick shins on our behalf?
Yes. We are going to be in a unique position in Iowa. We have great relationships with the other organizations around the state doing good work on various factions of the social conservative issues or the other things that are going on around the state. And so if we can't help those people, we sure know people who can. But we have a website, preserveinnocence.org.
Okay.
And actually, if you go just to that website, and you can click on Iowa and get Iowa-specific information there, there's a way to sign up and be on our list. And we're just getting off the ground here in Iowa, but we will be developing ways for people to get involved, to collect people's information, to keep them in the loop, and to get them activated. We will have a presence at the Capitol each legislative session. We will be going out around the state and educating people on what's going on. And we plan on engaging. We don't have any plans of endorsing candidates or having a political action committee or anything like that. But we will be engaging candidates and trying to affect both parties and their candidates on these issues.
Offering up legislation.
Correct.
Sponsoring legislation.
Correct. We will be either supporting or offering up our own legislation.
You want to be in the Rolodex of media types, so if people want to know
Correct.
About something, you get a comment from you guys.
We'll be working on everything from Religious Freedom Restoration Acts to the core curriculum issues. We'll be pushing from behind on the private school rights and making sure that the state government respects their mission and role in the education landscape and other areas, too.
All right. Let's talk to some of the listeners who are joining us. Lee, you've been listening in, and tell us the rest of the story.
Yeah, hi, Jan.
Hi.
I'm Lee, and I'm Sarah Foster's mom. So I'm the grandma of the young man that had the sense to speak up to his parents and say what he had seen in his art class.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and I've been, of course, talking to Sarah as this has unfolded in the last week or so. And the thing that she was most unhappy with was after she spoke to someone at the Human Resources Department of the Des Moines Public Schools, and asked, how will I know that there's been any disciplinary action or, you know, a letter put in the art teacher's file or anything? How will I know what's been done and, result of this?
Right.
And the HR lady said, well, you'll never know because there's a federal law providing privacy for her. And that's when...
What?
That's when Sarah about blew her top because I told her, I said, I hate to say it, honey, but... The unions and the administration, they're all in it together to protect themselves, but still keep at it. And she did at that point, that's when she spoke to someone at the police department. Because at that point, you feel like, well, I'm not going to get any satisfaction from the public schools, so I need to go outside their authority and bring in someone, even a heavier hitter. And so that's why they've got somebody from the sex crime division, I believe, investigating. And then the worst of it is, what I was hearing on the news is that the attorney, the Polk County attorney, has to make the decision of whether this video was obscene. Because if it's not obscene, well, then the teacher didn't do anything wrong, did she?
Well, wait a second. Obscenity is not the standard, the minimum threshold of the crap you serve up at the elementary level.
And that's what I'm saying. What kind of art teacher pulls YouTube videos up for curriculum?
Well,
we can do.
And well, actually, that's actually a pretty good source of a lot of good stuff. If I were teaching history right now, I'd be using YouTube every day.
Especially a little judgment thrown in.
That's the missing component here. When you serve up perversion and imply that that's to be served up at the elementary school level, that's major league loss of discernment if they ever had any.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and I know Sarah felt bad. She said to her dad, well, gee, I hate to, ruin this lady's career or, really damage her. But I said, Sarah, there's plenty of art teachers out there that have good judgment that wouldn't dream of showing
absolutely,
like
especially
that.
Now when art teachers are
exactly.
fallen and band instructors are getting lost left and right.
That's
some
right.
doofus serves up a homoerotica in a grade school. That's absurd. And if they lose their job over it, I don't care.
And the funny thing is that Cody came home and he gave such an innocent little explanation of what he'd seen. And then after I actually saw the video, it was so much worse. It wasn't just two guys holding their private parts, shall we say. It was two guys, getting it on. And, it was a little different.
It's just ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. And I'm happy that this is exactly what we've been talking about. Parents and grandparents have to get involved. They have to draw a line, say, you're not going to do this. And we have to stop making excuses for bad judgment and bad teaching at school. And we ought to express it clearly. You mess with our kids, you're gone. You're not going to tamper with our kids' sensitivities here. You're not going to use your class to propagandize for an aberrant lifestyle, which I should tell you, friends. After you've seen this video, just to look at the bottom in the history of the person who produced the video, he's dead because he died of AIDS. His lifestyle, his art form killed him. if the I could have some respect for the arts teacher, said, "Hey, I'm going to show you something, and it's got a lot of really good arts images in it, and here it is. Oh, by the way, the guy who did it and thought that that was an example of safe sex, he's dead. His safe sex killed him." Hey, gentlemen, I'm sorry I went off on you guys here.
No problem.
A call to action. We're just about out of time here before we go to farm markets. What do you want us to know more than anything else?
No, what we're going to be forming parents' councils throughout Iowa to keep them in the loop on the issues going on in the state capitol and the federal government, and to get them to bring messages directly to the legislators, both at the state and federal level. And I think that's one way people can get involved to right these wrongs, to protect their children, and to change our society back to the way our founding fathers intended it to be.
Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks
appreciate it. It is preserveinnocence.com.
.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right after our farm markets, we'll reconvene.